Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Stock Market Today. It's Ali Khorram and Justin Nielsen here with a breakdown of the action for Monday, April 22nd, where we got a bounce, but will it last? That is the question. And here with me to break it down is Justin Nielsen. So Justin, we've got a lot to get to today. What stocks are we going to be covering?
Yeah, so let's take a look at on the kind of the defensive side, one of the consumer staples, Church & Dwight, that's ticker symbol CHD. It's probably a good idea to check in on Alphabet. Haven't, super impressed with tech lately, but Google is holding up very well. And then also on defense, but in aerospace defense, we'll take a look at HEICO, that's HEI.
Okay, well, we'll get to those stocks, but first, let's take a look at the major indexes. The NASDAQ today up 1.1%. Same for the Russell 2000 small cap index on track for a 1.1% gain into the final stretch. We also had the S&P 500 today up 0.9% and the Dow up about 0.7%. So the S&P 500 here, last week, we talked about how it sliced below that 5,000 level, tried to get a little bit of a bounce today, and we did. So we did have an up day. We've broken the losing streak, but we still have a ways to go before we can prove that the bleeding really has stopped. Just one day doesn't mean we now are going to have a reversal in trend automatically.
Right. One day does not a trend make. We did establish a downtrend, you know, because of the lows that we were hitting, the support that we were losing. And so, yeah, you can just really kind of, if you put it to simple terms, if you just look at the near term, you can just draw a line and say, okay, this line is going down. Now, granted, if you looked, you know, a little bit further out, you could say, hey, looking from October 2022 or even October 2023, either of those, that, hey, that line is going up. So you've got to be kind of holding two different positions in your mindset. What is the overall longer term trend and what is the shorter term trend? So when we look at corrections or pullbacks, you know, we are kind of looking more on the short term side. So right now we did have, you know, quite a bit of damage done last week. And, you know, it really sticks out on the chart. It's like, oh, you know, yeah. When was that bad week in, you know, April of 2023? Oh, there it is. You know, you don't have to really, search for it. It just really sticks out. So what that does is once you establish a downtrend, we like to look for a follow through day. And the follow through day basically tells us that the trend is potentially changing. And the way that we do that is first you have a rally day. Well, we got that part today. Now we have to wait for 4 days. So this becomes day one. We have to wait day two, day three, day four. So Thursday at the earliest, if we can hold above the lows that we just put in and we can have a day after that, you know, on that fourth day or later that is up considerably, 1% or more, and volume is heavier than the day before, that's when we're going to say, okay, maybe this is a potential change in trend. But until we get that, there can be a lot of back and forth that's just noisy and choppy. And that's where you have to be very careful because it's very easy to get yourself in trouble as you try and go in and then you get turned away. You get frustrated. Your mental capital, your psychology, everything gets kind of out of whack. So that's what we want to avoid. So basically, you see a day like today, you got to try and sit on your hands and wait and be patient.
Right. Because we were getting to some pretty oversold levels. So not surprising to see a bounce today, but we've looked at a lot of historical downtrends and they're not all red days. You have up days right. In the middle of periods where it can get worse. So
in fact, it's worth remembering that some of the strongest up days happen around some of the worst bad days, you know? So again, sometimes you get that kind of reactionary bounce, but it doesn't last. Now, look, you also have to put in the back of your mind that maybe the worst is over. And, you know, you sometimes have these V-shaped recoveries. That happens too, but there's a lot more cases where you get choppy and sloppy for a little bit after a break. And it just needs healing time, and that's fine. So, you know, you have to kind of keep both in mind and be prepared to go either way.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll be ready for anything. But if we can get back above the 21-day line, like that November 1st follow-through day, not that the exact same thing is going to happen, but you know, a follow through day in that kind of position and continuing to see strength after that was definitely what we wanted to see there. So there was actually the first right there. I knew, I was like, that doesn't look right. It's the first. So anyway, we continued to see follow throughs that really stood out on the chart, got back above that green line, the 21 day. So who knows? We'll have to see. There could be fireworks later this week with the mega cap tech earnings. We know they have a big influence over the index, but that's a double-edged sword, right? We don't know what they're going to report, and more importantly, what the reactions are going to be. So we'll roll with the punches as they get thrown.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
And so, you know what, just one more thing to kind of point out, we're looking at the S&P 500 here. Mike mentioned how there's that important kind of 50% retracement level. And I think he mentioned that, you know, it was around, 504 for SPY, you know, so that translates into, you know, roughly 5,040 for S&P 500. So it's very normal once you get below that level to come up to that level again and get turned away. So that's one thing to just kind of keep in mind. And that does kind of coincide very closely with where the 50-day moving average line is. It's a little bit higher, but that's something to be careful of. You know, so if you do start seeing, we're getting up to the 50-day, temper your enthusiasm a little bit. Let's wait for more data and more information before we get too excited.
Great. Okay, and here's a quick look at the NASDAQ, which we also got a bounce today after a lot of pretty bad down days, but we'll have to see what we get from here. And then we also want to take a quick look at RSP, Justin. So what are you seeing here in the equal weight S&P ETF?
What I thought was interesting about the RSP, the equal weight, is that it didn't come down as much, right? It had that really bad day when it broke, but then it kind of went flat a little bit more, whereas it seemed like the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ, especially the NASDAQ, were making more lows. And today really stuck out. You know, the NASDAQ composite was an inside day. The S&P 500 was, you know, above Friday's high, so a little bit better in that regard. But RSP looks even stronger. It's kind of, it went tight for a little bit, and then it's kind of clearing the last few days of highs. So I just thought it was interesting that RSP is looking a little bit stronger right now. So we've been complaining about, we want more breath, we want more breath. Now we've got breath, and it's like, but the indexes look poor. So keep in mind, it's sometimes you can't get everything, but we do have some divergences that are happening that might be muddying the waters.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look at zero TNX. This is the 10-year yield. I'm actually going to go to the weekly chart here because we saw three strong up weeks and putting us, you know, pretty close to those high levels, Justin. So we are continuing to see readjustments to the Fed rate cut expectations. So part of the reason why the stock market has come under pressure in recent weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, as much as it's great to see us pause here a little bit, when you look at the daily chart and the weekly chart here, the fear I have is, you know, could this be potentially, you know, forming a little, you know, cup with handle type situation, you know, this bigger cup, and, you know, could it break up above here and then go back up to that 5% level? So that remains to be seen. But again, it's, you know, a pause is good until you potentially break that. So I will be looking to see if it does break above it or break lower. I think it's important to watch that. And to that end, you know, financials, XLF, if you take a look at that, that was one of the stronger performing groups today. You can see how that was up 1.24%, definitely outpacing the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ composite. So look, that there's a lot that can be said for the spread between the longer term and the shorter term, the yield curve and all that. But a lot of the bank stocks, the money center stocks, we had earnings from a lot of them. Wells Fargo, Bank of America, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, definitely were on the stronger side today.
All right. Bitcoin also in focus today, Justin.
Yeah, can't forget this one. I mean, nice bounce off the 50-day moving average line. Really strong action here and a good day today. So the fact that this got that support while the market was still going down, again, another divergence to just be paying attention to.
Absolutely. Okay, and then we'll quickly take a look at some different sectors and themes. Here's the look at chips. SMH up 1.9% today, but got beaten down pretty bad last week. Then we have XLU, defensive stuff, also continuing to perk up here, Justin. XLU up 0.9%. And then XLP today, the staples, up about 1%. So some strong performances in the defensive areas. So
right. Not where you want to see the strength. I mean, that kind of tells you that there's, and look, XLK was up there for a good portion of the day. And then when we faded into the close, I mean, we still closed up above the 60% closing range, but that fade into the close did see XLP and XLU kind of take those, you know, number two and number three spots behind XLF.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of consumer staples, let's go to CHD. This is Church & Dwight, the company behind baking soda, laundry detergent, and toothpaste, lots of other stuff that we see on the shelves all the time, Justin. So this stock today up 1.5% after a strong outside day, upside reversal on Friday and a spiking RS line.
Yeah. And you know what all the product, I mean, they do so many different products. My cousin actually used to work for them and I was amazed hearing from her like, oh, I didn't even think like kitty litter and all these things. But these are all things that are kind of the boring things, right? They're the things that you buy no matter what the economy is doing. And so that's why they're considered those staples and a little bit more, they're not going to be as affected by a poor economy. People are still going to buy these types of things. And so they don't tend to move up that much, but in a downturn, this is where a lot of institutions tend to hide. So when you see strength in some of these areas, it's not necessarily a great thing for the market, especially growth names. You often see a lot of tight areas. You see those little blue shaded areas in these types of stocks, you see a lot of them. So again, it can be a little bit boring, but you look at the overall trend. So this is, you know, look, it's coming out of a flat base. It's kind of a base on base. We actually had this as stock of the day. Kit Norton wrote a great story on it. But again, this is information, right? It tells you when these types of stocks are doing well, it kind of gives you a sense of what the risk appetite is. And again, to me, it tells me that institutions are possibly doing more hiding than hunting for growth.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay, next on the list, speaking of growth, this mega cap tech stock is holding up really well, Justin, and that's Google parent Alphabet up on the day, 1.4% gain, and it really didn't budge all too much last week when we saw so much destruction in other leading tech names.
Yeah, and for a while there, this was the mega cap that wasn't participating, right? Yeah. It was the one that just didn't seem to be in phase with everything else. And you know, as this was basing, a lot of the market was doing well, and that's why you see that relative strength line getting in a downtrend. But now things are a little bit different. Since it kind of crossed back above its 10-week moving average line, you see that the relative strength line has been in an uptrend. It's been outperforming the S&P 500. And as you mentioned, Allie, as the market was coming in, this just really wasn't budging. You had the indexes slicing through their 10-week moving average lines, and this is barely off its high, 2.5% off its high, not very much at all. So a tight area that it kind of came out of, also a little base there, and it's just holding on top of that base. So right now, this one is looking very strong. But as you mentioned, earnings coming up, this is something that we just, you've got so many earnings coming up that there is, I mean, for me, at least, I'm taking a little bit of a wait and see approach. We also have, it's worth mentioning, the PCE later on this week. That's something that the Fed looks at very closely in terms of an inflation gauge. That was one of the things that kind of got us in trouble, right? All of these different economic reports coming out that, oh, inflation is maybe a little bit stickier. Powell making some comments. That's kind of what started this downtrend. And so I think it's worth waiting to see what the earnings start coming out like and what that PCE, just for another piece of data. Now you can't always just wait for the next piece of data because there's always something coming out. But right now, when you're in uncertain times, I think waiting for more data is good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're on day one of a rally attempt. Let's see what the data is like in general, you know, but we're focused on the charts and the market action. And right now we've just gotta wait. So who knows, maybe that could provide the boost we need, but we can't make that prediction. Okay.
But this is why we do our watch lists, because if it does turn, it makes us, we've done the homework and we're ready.
Exactly. Ready for anything. Okay, here's a look at HEI and the Aerospace Defense Group. We've got over a month until earnings here, and this has been a steady eddy mover, just forming lots of bases along a steady climb. And this one too recently broke the downtrend of its RS line.
Yeah, and the reason why it's broken the downtrend on its RS line is because as you look at the action lately, it's like, okay, the market's been coming down. This has been holding and actually going up and making progress during this downtrend. So that's one of the reasons why this has gone up. And look, aerospace defense, you know, this is a different kind of defense, right? Not necessarily defensive in terms of staples, but defense in terms of when wars are going on and uncertainty in that regard. This has been doing well. This whole group has been doing well. We talked about the industry group analysis this morning on IBD Live, and aerospace defense was one of the groups that was getting some attention because of a lot of our screens were catching these names. Our IBD Live watch list had more names in aerospace defense. So there's a lot to be, you know, looked at in this group. And I think HEICO is one of the better looking charts there. It's not far off its highs. It looks like it's just on the verge of a breakout here. And not only a breakout, but you have this 200 round number. So there's a nice psychological number that if it can get above that, you can definitely see some blue skies ahead. And so that's one of the reasons why this is on my radar. Relative strength, again, looking much more positive recently. And so if that continues, this might be a good place to kind of hide. But look, you know, if this is something where Church and Dwight and HEICO and, you know, a lot of the and utilities, if that's where the action is, they tend to not go up as much, you know, as your growth stocks do in a good market. So you're kind of like getting less return for more risk, you know, in a downtrending market. So you just have to be aware that that equation is not going into your favor. You want to have more reward, less risk, not the other way around.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Justin. And thanks everyone for tuning in. We will be back with more tomorrow morning on IBD Live. So we'll see you there. investors.com/IBD Live for all the details. And then we also will be back tomorrow after the close. This show is for informational and educational purposes only, and nothing should be construed as a recommendation to buy, hold, or sell any securities. Any securities and investment strategies discussed may not be suitable for all investors. Make sure to consider consulting with your financial advisor before making investment decisions.